Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
630 Chad and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer joining you along with Brendan Escott. It's 105 in Edmonton, working out of the home office today and for the foreseeable future. The second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. In this hour, we will hear from a man who's got a new book out called Undrafted, longtime NHL player, and one of the best analysts in the business. Nick Kyprios will join us. We'll also hear from Inside Sports, Reed Wilkins, and getting a bit of an inside look at the red-white game over the last couple games. Longtime play-by-play voice of the Red Deer Rebels, Cam Moon, who about 25 years ago used to actually do some broadcast work for TSN. He called the two red-white games this weekend with the World Juniors, so we've got them coming up. But we're going to head off right now to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. We welcome to the show Nick Kyprios. Nick, it's Bob. How are you doing?
I'm well, Bob. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, we got to do it because you opened up the proverbial Pandora's box with a tweet today on just before we get to the book. You put a tweet today basically saying that the two sides, the NHL and the NHLPA, after maybe not having the type of meeting I think that the players were thinking they were going to have late last week or phone conversations with the NHLPA, did not talk over the course of the weekend. What do you think that means, Nick?
Well, that's probably, I hear, the first time that they haven't had daily conversations in over a month. And we know they're still on the clock to get as many games as they hope to get in for next season. But if you read the tea leaves, if you've watched past examples, I would think that not talking over the weekend doesn't bode well for future talks in terms of making significant gains on still starting a season January 1st.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to kind of, I don't know, it's going to be a tricky one, Nick, and I always find this a little bit challenging because, full disclosure, I work for the Oilers Entertainment Group, right? Like, I work for the club.
It's, yeah.
And I can, and so I'm sitting here, and I have tremendous amount of respect for the players and the position that they're in, but I also think that, you know what, if you own something, you should have a right to make a little something off of it. And we're in really challenging times, so this is going to be tricky. Who do you think?
No,
you think?
Listen.
Go for it.
I'm in the similar boat, you know, just in terms of, no, I don't work for MLSC or, you know, the Edmonton Group or MSG, but there's not a person alive that doesn't love the game that wants it back as quickly as possible and as healthy as possible. And I've got a podcast show that I run now on a YouTube channel called Real Kipper at Noon. I need the game going again. I want the game going. Nobody wants to hear about millionaire and billionaire fans fighting, especially this time, you know, through a pandemic. But it is what it is, and we still got to do our jobs, at least to report about it, to talk about it. But, you know, people at home are rolling their eyes right now, but it's not uncommon for them to roll their eyes since 2004. So, unfortunately, you know, this is part of it, and we're going to have to keep an eye on it, you know, and see where it goes.
I remember I did Corey Cross's games at the University of Alberta in the late 1980s, early 90s, and I'm the same age as Corey. Roughly, Nick, I'm the same age as you. And I remember seeing Corey after the 04-05 lockout. He used to say to me, "Stoff, I'd hear your show, and there were days I thought you might have been one of the investors in the Edmonton Investors Group." And I remember saying to Corey, I go, "Hey, man, I tried to play it as neutrally as possible, but, you know, we needed a salary cap, so..."
Food on the table, too. We need food on the table for our family. So I get all of that. What's interesting from here on in, Bob, is, you know, where the perception is publicly, because, you know, I caught a little bit of John Shannon, good friend, and a guy that I have a ton of respect for. And he said, we've kind of been down this road before, but I tend to disagree with John a little bit on that, because I do believe that this is unique and this is unprecedented in terms of how we came to this spot. You can say whatever you want, whether or not, you know, how you felt on any lockout in the past, but with no future CBA, that was a fair fight, albeit at times a dirty fight, you know, from both sides with a lot of threats. This is different. This has come out of the blue. This is something that 4 months ago, everybody was patting each other on the back and saying how great and how solid and how united the players and the owners are to get through this in the bubble. And everything was looking great, Bob. And then out of the blue, you know, to use a golfer's term, you know, Gary Bettman's on the tee box and he shanks one in the woods and says, "That one doesn't count. I want a mulligan." And that's okay if everybody says, "Yeah, it's a mulligan." But chances are, if you got money on the game, Gary, you're not getting a mulligan here. So all the players are asking right now is, why does Gary think he gets a mulligan on an agreement that we had 4 months ago? And the perception early on here is, well, it's worse than we thought it was going to be. And the players are sitting there going, no, it's not any worse, because we talked about the scenarios and we talked about a third, a third, a third, meaning that we were going to come back in January and there was going to be no people in the building. And then we hope by the midpoint we get a third of the fans in. And then, you know, on a perfect wish list, by next June, we get our fans back. And who did the projections from the NHL now to suggest that it's worse than we thought 4 months ago? I don't get that, and the players don't understand it either.
Well, I think you've done a great job equivocating sort of, you know, how maybe the players would feel on this issue. All right, I want to switch focus. You've got a book out. It's called Undrafted, Hockey, Family, and What It Takes to Be a Pro. And we have Al May on the show probably once every 2 weeks. And, I kind of grew up playing at kind of the same level and always had tremendous respect for guys that wheeled their way to the NHL. Because frankly, Nick, I lack the speed, talent, agility, coordination, toughness, character, and discipline to have played major junior, let alone the NHL. So I kind of, like, you know, you had a longer career than Al. Obviously, you guys have had, you know, you've had the broadcasting side too. But is it fair to say you kind of wheeled your way? And is that what we're going to find out in the book Undrafted, that there's a lot of things that went right for you, but a lot of this was about personal drive?
Yeah, no question about that. And for the record, I'm a huge Alan May fan, and I told him I can't wait to read his book as well. But similar scenarios, Bob, and that's ultimately just finding a different way to the same destination. And we all wish we were Connor McDavid's, the best player on every team that you've been on since the first time you put on skates, but that's just not the case. So I hope it's inspiring to anyone that says don't feel bad when you fall down. You just get up and you find a different road to that same promised land that you try to get to. And that's what I think the book is all about. Bob, I got to be honest, you know, being a part of the NHL alumni, constantly hearing tough stories. And I know there's a book out there for Joe Murphy now.
Yep.
And, you know, near and dear to Edmonton Oilers fans as well. And I just hope that, you know, this book finds a way to inspire to suggest that, you know, when things don't go your way, when you think you're a little bit down and out, or you've taken a step or two back, in the grand scheme of things, it should be to move two or three steps forward. And I hope that's what readers will get out of my book Undrafted the most, that there's different ways to get there. You gotta stick with it.
You had 152 goals in your final 3 years in junior. Like, that's 50 a year. Were you surprised that the options were maybe as, I mean, that you weren't drafted when you put up those kind of numbers?
Well, you know, to be fair, it was after my first year of eligibility off a 12-goal season. And by then, Bob, I got invited in PTOs. It was an invite out of the Philadelphia Flyers. We know them as PTOs today. They were very rare back then. If you weren't good enough to be drafted, then they really kind of thought that you just didn't have any chance of being a professional hockey player. But Bob Clark called me, you know, one sunny day in the end of June and invited me and said that they were thinking about drafting me, but they felt if I slid through that they'd go with the invitation. And then out of that training camp, I did sign a professional contract with the Flyers, which made me ineligible after those big junior scoring years. So in saying that, I don't know how it would have turned out if I didn't get invited, or even if I would have had a chance to play pro. But back then, you know, once you got passed over by the NHL draft early in your career, very rarely were you still considered a pro prospect.
It's interesting. I mean, you take a look at the penalty minute totals. You fought a lot. Sometimes, you know, when you're Dave Brown and you're 6'5" and left-handed, a lot of guys don't want to fight you. When you're trying to establish yourself, you have to take a lot of fights. During the time that you played, were there guys, you know, you knew you had to protect yourself because that guy could, you know, like, I mean, Dave Brown was left-handed, could throw from downtown. He could just, he'd destroy. I remember bouncing Cam Russell's head off the ice in 1990 in Chicago. I mean, he was an absolute killer. But were there guys like that besides Brownie that scared you?
Constantly. Dave Manson, his eyes went back like slot machines on some nights, and I'm like, I got to avoid him.
You know,
I ended up fighting Chris Simon in one fight in MSG. But, you know, you're always scared when you drop the gloves that it could end the way it ended with me with Ryan Vandenbosch.
Right.
But, you know, I did what I thought I needed to do to hang in there, Bob, to stay in the game, to make a career out of it, to fulfill my dream of being on a Opeachy hockey card, you know. And I wanted to hang in there. And it didn't really matter to me if I scored 50 goals or not. I mean, it would have been nice, and it would have lined my pocketbook a lot better. But the most important thing was having coaches and general managers at the NHL level saying, hey, he's got something to offer. He gets to stick around. That, to me, was my number one priority, and I was able to fulfill that for almost 9 years.
We're joined by Nick Kypreos. The book is called Undrafted. Bob Stauffer with the Oilers now. Nick, I was up in Prince George in 1993-94 at my summer job as an Edmonton kid cheering for the New York Rangers, which didn't make me very popular with all the folks cheering for the Canucks in that Stanley Cup final that year. What was it like to be a part of Mark, and it was Mark Messier's team in 93-94. You ended up with the Rangers during the course of that season. What was it like to be a part of that organization at that time?
Yeah, it was a huge thrill, and I came back. I'd left the Hartford Whalers, and probably on average 6,000 fans by then. They were so ticked off for trading Ron Francis and Elf Samuelson and all these popular players that it almost felt like I went from the minors to the major leagues. And we know there's no bigger stage than New York, and you know, getting right away establishing you know, a relationship with Mark Messier and finding out so much about him. I had never met him before. And just, you know, he's a very methodical guy. Everything he does and says is around, you know, bringing people together and ultimately bringing, you know, a trust level to a team and watching it, you know, firsthand, right in front of your eyes, watching you know, Mark kind of bring the team together, and taking a talent like Brian Leetch and taking him to the next level, and Mike Richter, it was incredible to watch. And you get to win a championship on an original six team, especially one that hadn't won in 54 years. Then, you know, maybe there's even a book to be written about that, you know, from a fourth line slug.
Well, you have several chapters in the book, sort of about your time in the media and how that role has changed. In fact, one of the chapters is called Changing Media. What was the thing that surprised you the most when you transitioned out of being a player and becoming a broadcaster?
Just the work that it takes on a daily basis, and having a full appreciation. And I don't think to this day that, you know, players still have an appreciation for that world, the media world, and what it takes. And, you know, they probably just don't think about it all that much. But to get into it and to watch, you know, either people in print or in radio or in TV, and those were the three elements there. We didn't even have much internet, you know, in the late 90s. Just an appreciation for the work ethic and the level and commitment it takes to hit deadlines, and how long you wait for a player to come out of the shower. And you've got a life too. But yet you're at the mercy sometimes of players and people in the game to hit deadlines. But it was something that I was committed to right away. It didn't go smoothly, Bob, at the beginning. I struggled. I got fired my first year. And to get a second chance, and that second chance led to a panel seat in the Vancouver Olympic Games with Bob McKenzie and James Duthie and Darren Pang. Right to Hockey Night in Canada and 20 years. I couldn't be more grateful for that.
Yeah, the one lesson is, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life, the best people, the most successful people, they're grinders. I mean, that's it. We sit there and look at the physical freaks of the world, and, you know, Calvin Johnson as an example in the NFL, the Detroit Lions, you know, 6'5" receiver that can run a, you know, 4.440, and we look at Connor McDavid, and I'm going to ask you a bit about Connor here, because you've grown up around the game. You're 54 now. And I don't think people respect just how much work Connor actually puts in. And obviously Gary Roberts has helped be a driver for him. But on Connor specifically, have we seen a player that fast, that skilled during your time, Nick?
No, not even close. And, you know, with all due respect to my era with, you know, the Gretzky's and the Lemieux and the Mark Messier's and the Paul Coffey, this guy's got a third and fourth gear that we've never seen before. And, you know, at times I've gone on public record and say, he's too fast. I mean, you know, you get a 2020 Ferrari on a 1954 racetrack. It could get ugly, you know, at times. But I think he's gotten smarter since his major injury. I think he's had the ability to pick his spots a little better on terms of when to go into that third or fourth gear. And he is a student. Not many superstars, you know, can fall into that category. And that truly puts them amongst the best players in our game in history. But the true ones that have that talent level and live and breathe it and are students and act like a sponge, constantly absorbing, they're the ones that get to be remembered as the greatest of all time. So that's where Connor McDavid's heading.
Final question for you, Nick. Again, the book is called Undrafted. It's available at your Chapters and your Indigos out there, and you can order it online. Hey, if we end up playing, and I think we will play, and maybe it'll only be a 48-game skid, how stoked would you be for an all-Canadian division?
Yeah, there's no question that it's coming. And, you know, the hope is that the vaccine is well in place by May and June. And by the time you're in a semifinal, there'd be no issues with a Canadian team crossing the border. So that's the hope for all of us. But, yeah, as far as television goes, I'm sure a lot of my old friends at Sportsnet would have no problem covering an all-Canadian matchup for 3 or 4 months.
Nick, we appreciate your time. Best of luck with the book,
hey,
and we'll touch
Bob.
Touch, yeah.
Just one plug. The one thing I wanted to do when I shut down from Sportsnet, try my luck at something outside of the game of hockey. So I did a beverage. It's called Little Buddha Cocktail. It's a pineapple vodka, and I did it in Ontario, and it was so successful that people wanted me to bring it out to Alberta. So take a look for it. You know, I think we've got it in places around Edmonton. Gibson's Liquor Store, I think, on 50 Avenue's got it. It's in Calgary and a few places in between. So our first launch of Little Buddha Cocktail is in Alberta, my friend.
Right now, we could use a little bit of that. Take care, Nick. We'll do it again, okay? Thanks for your time. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your time. That is Nick Kypreos, the book again, Undrafted, Hockey Family, and What It Takes to Be a Pro. When we come back for Greta Barr, Oilers Now Trivia.
Hi, this is Leon Draisaitl from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 1:26 in Edmonton. Again, we had Nick Kypreos on the show. The book is Undrafted. We've already banged through the Oilers prospect report at this time. We are going to open up the River Cree Resort Casino hotline at 780-496-0063. Time for Oilers Now trivia, brought to you by Greta Global Street Food. Greta Bar, eat, drink, and play. Brendan Escott, what are we playing for?
$50 in gaming credit to the arcade-style games. They've got line in the walls there at Greta.
Here we go. We've talked a bit about it, so it's kind of an easy one. The Heritage Classic, November 22nd, 2003. Which Oilers defenseman had a three-point performance in the Oilers' 4-3 loss to Montreal? Again, which Oilers defenseman picked up a goal and two assists, three-point performance in the Oilers' hard-fought 4-3 loss to the Montreal Canadiens? Canadiens built up a 3-1 lead in that game. Two of the Oilers' three goals were scored by defenseman Jared Stoll. Had a goal and assist in that game. Eric Brewer scored a goal in that game. Eric Brewer is not the right answer. Another defenseman picked up a goal and two assists, again, for the $50 gaming credit at Greta Bar, going back to November 22nd, 2003. At this time, do want to mention to you, out at Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin, they're looking for trades. The Ford Motor Company will give you a trade-in bonus of up to $2,500 for a 2016 model or older. And the team at Brent Ridge Ford is keeping you safe. That's their top priority. They're complying with all AHF's safety protocols. So go out there and see Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at your Ford Truck Authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Again, you can text us at any time on our Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. You cannot win via text. You have to call in to win. It's actually a really easy one. Did not go down. Just so you know. Didn't go down a super tough path. I think it was a pretty easy question. Cheers from JR, Texas show, to say, hey, Bob, I just got a 1991 Nick Kypreos rookie card for $1.99 on eBay. No way. Really? There you go. There you have it. Keep bringing us at any time, 780-496-0063. Bob, I went to the Heritage Classic in Winnipeg, forgot the earth, my high school sweetheart. Think it was minus 30. Oh, no. He's saying, I was asking which of the Eskimo, Eskimo playoff games. We got a new naming taking place with the EE football team. The one against Winnipeg, forget the year, with my high school sweetheart. Think it was about minus 30. We were okay. Had ski suits and blankets on from Brian. Yeah, I think that was 1981. Pretty sure it was, now I'm thinking it might have been 82. You know what? Somebody help me out here. Somebody that really knows the CFL. Was it 82 or 81 that the Eskimos played super, super cold game back in the game? Brendan, I'm going to assume we've got a winner at this stage. We'll discuss that when we come back. Reed Wilkins, Cam Moon, still to come on Oilers Now. Off to Global News Weather Traffic Update, Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.